song is talking about, with mine, I kind of had mine tried for a couple of days. We went day four yesterday and down through the pasture, and I was kind of looking at the cows, and I didn't come up with the right count. And then right away we had stopped, and I heard this cow kind of bawl, and the old big cow sounded like trying to get her calf to get up somewhere. So we make a round down the creek and over in the hay meadow, which is on the other side of the creek, looking. See nothing. Didn't find no cow either. So just dismissed that, and we went back down through there yesterday. Couldn't see a cow either, so we was going down the creek there, and I told Betty, I said, well, maybe, I'm kind of losing my mind. Here lately, things hadn't been very clear, so I said, I guess I just forgot what the count was. In a few minutes, here comes this cow and calf. They said, that's a new calf there, isn't it? Yeah, so then I said, well, I was afraid I was kind of losing my mind. Betty said, yeah, I thought you might be too. Going back that thought up, so. We've been going and coming until I'm back crazy. Anyway, I don't know whether we're going or coming half the time anymore. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Isaiah this morning for a beginning. And in verse 1, said the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw, did see, lift up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt a voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. That's a very important statement there. Lord sanctifies one people for one thing and another people for another thing too. So won't go much further than that. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountain like as of great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from far country and from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with watch, but with wrath and with fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. I guess we'll end our reading there here. Go back, Paul just mentioned it in his prayer. Brother Bruce mentioned it last week in his message, talking about the oracles. It brought back memories of studying about the oracles, and they come up with sometimes the word that was used to come up translated oracles is also used translated burden. And it says the burden of Babylon. It's what's going to come up on you. But in our reading, we've seen more than that. It's the day of the Lord has come. And they use this word burden of Babylon, but it means more than that. The word Lord came, the oracles came. And it was unto one death and unto other life. That could be a burden. It could be refreshing, though. May not be a burden. It's going to be a burden on Babylon, for sure. But it's also going to be a burden upon the whole world. The oracles have come. And they bring burdens to some people. Some people, like I said, it's joy and grace and freedom and pleasure. And all the good tidings of God comes in the oracles. We look at it sometimes and think, well, if the oracles was law, but the oracles was more than the law. Certainly all the word of God is the law. Sometimes we sell that a little short also. Want to, you know, limit it to 10 items. But the whole word of God is the law of God. It's the perfect law of liberty to some. It's a perfect burden unto others. And the Lord uses it over and over. But the oracles come, and men ought to fear God because they understand that they can't keep it. It is a burden that in the beginning upon all men, if they had sense enough to see it. That's the whole problem. Their minds are not made right, and they can't see it. It is a threat in the beginning upon all men. Do this and live. But if you don't, it's going to be a terrible burden upon you. Even worse than it is in the beginning. That's only the beginning. But the day of the Lord is coming, when perfect judgment will be carried out. So it's going to be a burden on some and liberty to some. But we live in a day when there isn't any fear of God, seems like. They use the word of the Lord lightly all time. They jest about it. Really. All you got to do is turn your TV on now, and it won't be long till you see some religious connotation come across, and 99% of the time, it is a mockery to God. Oh, it's selling far too short. He is God. You can't do better than that. You can't define him better than that. So really, they don't have any understanding of this testing that they're doing. They don't know that the day of the Lord is at hand. It's always a threat. Now, if you want to see more of this burden upon Babylon, over in the 50th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, he gives a good description of it there. His judgment is coming. We'll not go there this morning, but judgment is coming. And then I use that kind of lightly. Judgment is here. Yeah. It's always been here. It's no new thing. It's not waiting upon the day of the Lord. It will be complete in that day, for all will be judged. Everyone. Book of Jeremiah then. 23rd chapter. I don't know where to begin here, but 25th verse, I guess. He said, I have heard what the prophet said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And certainly in our land today, this fits. They're earnest about what they believe, but it won't hold shut, we used to say, you know. It's nothing to it. It's all frivolous stuff nowadays. It's all, what I saw, all kind of jesting and going along with, you know, and using the word Lord lightly and proclaiming a burden. And they don't even, it doesn't mean anything to them. Nothing to it. He said, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. Well, that's what we've done. That's what I was just talking about. They've taken him down from God. And say, well, let him be Lord. And that's the most profane thing I know. He is Lord. All this signs you see in all these yards and stuff now, and crosses and say he is Lord. They don't have to proclaim that. He is Lord. If you go anywhere in this Bible, you're going to see that he is Lord. He brings a burden on some and he brings relief on others. And nothing passes him by that he doesn't know. He brings destruction upon some and delivers some. Their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. In other words, they dropped the Lord and went after Baal. That's a whole lot easier. We can do that the way we want to. We don't have to keep the law. This is a whole lot better here. Y'all ought to fall in line with us. The prophet that had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is a chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Oh, well, you don't have to believe that old stuff they preaching over there. Shoot, that stuff too hard. Come over here with us. We'll show you how to worship. We'll lay down a lot of that old stuff and take the burden off of you. Remove it. This is so easy, but y'all just can't see it. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams in the Lord, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. They said, well, you ought to go to church. No, you ought to go to the right church. That stuff won't profit that they're teaching out here. There isn't any fear in it. None whatsoever. And when this people, or the prophet, or the priest, any of them, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Well, we'll see it's using it kind of lightly. Say, what are you bringing to us now? Some of that old garbage y'all been preaching about the day of destruction is at hand? Jeremiah, what are you bringing? A burden. And then you turn around and say, are you bringing a burden, Jeremiah? Yeah, he was, really. Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? Well, there ain't no burden. Everything's been exactly like it has been ever since the beginning. You can forget that old burden stuff. I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. They bringing this stuff on you without any reason. The one group say, well, this is this, and the other group said, this is it, and who are we going to believe? Then but one to believe, and that's the Lord. Thus shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? This is what we need to know. And what hath the Lord spoken? The oracles, which sometimes brings on burden. Sometimes bring relief. It's that simple. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. He made pretty clear there. Yeah, every man bear his own birth. They were just jesting, using all, and it's kind of like saying, well, Lord bless you. Oh, and all these little John 3:16, and just throw a little stuff out there. And don't explain. Don't use the whole oracles of God. No scripture is of any private interpretation. You got to read the whole thing and understand the principle. And I've said before, I'd far rather understand the principle of the thing than quote verses. If you don't get the principle down, you don't have anything. And they come by the oracles. In Lamentations, Jeremiah's lamenting in the 2nd chapter. In verse 14. thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, I'm talking about church in our day, by the way. It's clear. The new Jerusalem. Say, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? Is this it? The joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we look for. We have found, we have seen it. The Lord hath done that which he hath devised. Huh. Was the Lord's doing. Boy, you read this, some of them folks out there, you'd have to leave. The Lord had done that which he devised. He had fulfilled his word, the oracles, that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. So it ought to make us kind of tremble. All the years it should have been making the people of God tremble. When they were offering up all these burdens, and one say, well, it's this burden and that burden and the other burden, and then some saying there's no burden at all. Just don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. And it is. But because the Lord hath directed it. All things work together to good, huh? And are the call, yeah. That's the way it is in the book of Galatians. Sixth chapter, where we want to go. Verse 4 and 5, he said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Just thinking as A.T. is talking about, they take the easy way. It's easy because they rejoice in it. All they have to do to worship Baal is to offer their children as a burnt offering. But what you rejoice in, it's easy. So the commandments of God, the apostle said, are not grievous. If you rejoice in the Lord, if indeed you have repented toward God, doing right is not grievous to you. But doing right to a person that's never repented toward God is it's a grievous thing. He chafes under that burden, JT. Chafes under it. Like a person that's never been taught to work. He chafes under that if he has to go to work. He chafes under it. It's hard for him. It's burdensome, isn't it? But he that loves the Lord, work is not grievous to him, even, because it's a commandment of God, isn't it? Doing right is his delight. It's not burdensome or wearisome to him. He rejoices in that which is good. So, he rejoices in God. And rejoices in his worship. Worship is not hard to him. Now I remember. My mind ain't what it used to be. And I ain't letting any stretch of the imagination either. But I still remember. Before God saved me, worship was a burden. Trying to, at least. Can't do it, really, can you? But it is a burden. Yeah, it's not worship at all. It's just called worship. But it is. But every word of God is pure, isn't it? It's pure. And doesn't matter. I've said it before, and that's still true. Most of the Bible is written in a negative vein. But God's people receive a positive instruction.